In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the purposes of this week's midweek Lenten sermon, I am addressing the definition of prejudice as this: the unfavorable opinion that one has about someone before knowing all of the information, as I believe this is the most condemnable form of prejudice on our hands. People fall victim to prejudice when they are considered to be what people do not think they should be. One such example of this in the public square is those who believe in traditional marriage are considered to be prejudiced toward those who want same-sex marriage. In any situation where we believe that someone has wronged us, it is good and right that we have all of the information possible before we respond. Responding prematurely can only lead to further discord and strife. What relationships that did exist are quickly dissolved by prejudging an action or actions before knowing the whole story. I am quite sure that each and every one of us here today knows of an example in our own lives of this, whether with parents or children, spouses or neighbors, co-workers, and even fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Such prejudging sins can be avoided by directly speaking to the person who has wronged you and collecting all the information available to you. This type of honest behavior and communication is completely praiseworthy of all people. And yet, for the Christian, it is not enough. In today's text from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye?" And we often hear the first part of this passage used by those caught in sin who do not wish to repent. The Bible says, "Judge not, lest you be judged." What a grossly bad interpretation of such passage. To be certain, Jesus has instructed his followers to use his very own word in the judgment of others and in overall discernment. What Jesus is here addressing in this text is even more than the undoing of prejudice. He is strongly admonishing his followers, his Christians, you and me, not to arrogantly judge any brother or sister in Christ. As one commentator on this text states, Jesus is forbidding his disciples to criticize or reject a fellow disciple while being blind to their own faults. That sort of arrogant superiority complex has no place in relationships between Jesus' followers. Such judgment, executed without consideration of one's own faults, can only be done by one, God himself, since he has no faults of his own. No one among us should strive for such judgment. So what happens when we heed Jesus' words in this text? When we realize that we have logs used for roof supports, the literal translation of the Greek word, when we have those in our own eyes, we should be very, very slow to judge others for the speck or splinter in their eyes. This illustration used by Jesus is rather dramatic. For how can you have a huge timber coming out of your eye and be in any condition to get the splinter out of your brother's eye? You have your own sins mounted up against you. Now, that is not meant to prohibit judging outright. It is meant to prohibit outright judging. That is, have consideration for your brother and sister in Christ, just as you would hope that God would have consideration for you. So ultimately, what lies at the heart of this admonition of Jesus, and what should be the prejudice of us all, is mercy. Jesus' parable of the unforgiving servant comes to mind. There, a master's servant, if you'll allow me to use the same illustration, was forgiven an absurdly large plank in his eye. But when called to forgive the speck in his brother's eye, he would not. How can we, who have been shown such great mercy, not show such mercy to others? Or have we forgotten just how low and rotten we are in our sin? Mercy and forgiveness should be the foundation for all that we do, all that we say to our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Should be. But as sinners, the sad reality is that we do not let mercy and forgiveness be that foundation. For that, we need to repent and turn to Christ. In Christ, we have the picture of that great and abundant mercy. It was from that foundation of grace and forgiveness that our Lord was made man, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. We in no way earned that mercy. We in no way ever deserve that forgiveness. We deserve to be on that cross instead of Jesus. Instead, we get mercy. What prejudice God should have toward us for our sinfulness, He has put completely on His only begotten Son. Instead, we get mercy, love, peace, forgiveness from God. And God reminds us of His great love for us so graciously and so richly by giving us forgiveness and mercy through the proclamation of His inerrant and infallible word. And even on top of that, He heaps more and more that grace upon us generously in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. We rejoice to share that abundant mercy with our brothers and sisters in Christ, even as we rejoice that that mercy has been shared with us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen.